Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Well, you know, we've been talking in this place of the great things that Jesus brings. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people, not just a few, all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And we've been going through this place of talking about what Jesus has brought and what's come through. Why is this such good news? And we've covered these deep places within our soul that we long for, that the gospel, the message of Jesus, actually brings true fulfillment in. And we talked about this whole thing of this desire to be okay, right? What we meant by that is desire to be right, to be righteous. You know, we have that desire. It's a God-given desire. And Jesus came understanding that we had sin that blocked us, and he came and he paid the debt for our sins so we could be right with him and we can actually walk in his righteousness without any shame or without any condemnation, not have to justify ourselves anymore, to be free to live in that. And then last week we talked about this whole place of that I matter, that the deep desire within us to have this purpose. And we talked about how we are amazingly valuable to God, that we're his masterpiece, and we're brought actually into his purpose. We get to participate in that. And today, we're going to be talking about this place of when you trust your life to Jesus, and that term is used lots of different ways, but this place that you decide to put your weight on the message of Jesus, to say yes to that, and trust yourself to that, and receive what Jesus has done. This whole place that when God dwells in you, you understand that you belong. And so we're going to talk about this whole thing of belonging and how important that is and how we get to experience that through Christ. You know, this whole thing of belonging actually is a term that's been used in lots of studies now. It's so prevalent, I just found resource after resource. I just want to pick one of them. Wake Forest University summarized some of their studies and research on belonging in these words. He said this: the need to belong is an integral part of the human experience. We are hardwired to seek to belong, and we respond with joy and satisfaction when we experience a sense of belonging. This is apparently true for all ages, across all cultures. Through the sense of belonging, we learn who we are. We learn what we're going to become, and we learn our true identity. A major precept is in order to thrive, people need to be connected to others through family and community. You know, so this whole place that, you know, we are made in God's image and we have these longings, and this is one of them. God has made this. You're hardwired to say, I need to belong. And it's a right desire that God has given us. And we find ourselves looking for places to belong. As you look around, you can see that all the time. Now, you know, I have to give you a little confession here. I am not normally one who clicks links on Facebook, but I found these during the middle of COVID, when everybody was so mad at each other, everybody was full of contempt toward each other, and everybody's just mean to everybody, canceling everybody, I went to this one about these dogs that were rescued, okay? I'm not even a pet person necessarily, but I looked at these dog ones. And of course, the God of algorithms started sending them my way, right? They just started coming, and I just kept clicking them. And I have to admit, I got a little choked up, almost every one of them. Because they would take these dogs that had been abandoned, and they brought them in. And you watch this progression of as they belonged and became part of this family, you just saw them flourish, right? And so the puppies were always the ones that got me. You know, they actually transformed quicker because they still were aware of their need to belong. So they might start out with that one picture, but it didn't take long. You can see the difference in the eyes, right? The difference is now they belong. Before, they didn't. But the ones that really got me were these ones that they'd find under the porch of some abandoned house or in some sewer or hidden back, and they didn't even know they needed to belong. In fact, they didn't want to have anything to do with any human, and they were just trying to make it on their own. And the one that was more extreme was this one here that I ran across, where you find this dog who starts out, he's just devastated. You can just see his countenance and physically, emotionally, everything. And to see the transformation over time that happened. And that happened, sure, through physical care, but what you can see the most in this is they begin internally belonging, and it just transformed this dog, right? And so I've now resisted watching this because I've got so many, it's too emotional for me. But the reality of it is, when I was thinking about this whole thing of belonging, when I was doing this teaching, I thought, that's what I was catching on to. That's what was happening inside of me. It was hitting this place of this deep need to be cared for and to belong. Now, belonging is the need for love and intimate connection, to be a part of, to be needed and to be wanted, to be a part of it, to be needed and to be wanted. And so when you think about that, what you'll see, you'll see this everywhere. When you look around, you will see this God-given desire to belong showing up in every kind of facet of life. It can be from who sits at what lunch table at school, right? It can be in a spot that's tied to your social gatherings or for your neighborhood or the college you go to. You find these places, finding places to belong. In the military, often they find that military, one of the most difficult parts of the military is not active duty. It's after active duty when they get away from the place and they no longer belong to the people that they entrusted their life to. And it's devastating to know if they belong when they come back in. As we care for refugees, it's interesting. You talk to Mark Akers, anybody who knows refugees well, they said, sure, they really do need housing. They do need jobs. But what they need is to belong. They don't know if they belong. So that we can understand this. It's interesting. Kirkwood High School, where our girls and our grandkids go to, they get this. They have 20 sports, from football to fishing to bowling, right? And yet they have crazy amount of sports because they know when a kid feels like they're belonging to something, they do better academically. So they just say, let's give them anything to belong to. They've even decided that you can create any club you want. No questions asked. You just create a club. So I looked online, they have over 50 clubs, and some are very small, but, you know, Inspiring Filmmakers Club, Waffle Eating Club, Best Buddies Club. A couple years ago, one of my favorite ones was Flannel Shirt and Steak Eating Club. I like it, right? What is that about? It's like, we got to find a place that I'm okay, that I belong, that I'm wanted. And they're looking for any ways because this is such a deep need within. But of course, what we understand the most is this deeper level. These are not kind of symptoms, but the deeper level is that they found is in tied to family. This place in which that a child belongs to their family. And they know their family is where they belong. You see this when you hear people talking about when they had a parent who children know if they're wanted or not. They just know it. And it's devastating when they don't believe they are. It's why you see people who maybe I'm talking to and they're in their, you know, middle age or older, and they still remember that time their parents said, I wish I'd never had kids. You know? Or that spouse I talked to and in the anger of the moment, they can't get rid of that thought where the spouse said, I wish I'd never married you. Why are those so devastating? Why is an absent parent so devastating, even emotionally or physically? It's because it's tied to this deep desire and need to have worth and value and belong. A friend of mine, his name is Richard. He's a good friend of mine. And he lives in Kansas. He grew up, and his dad was really someone he loved. He played sports with him. He trained, taught him how to catch and all that stuff and how to play baseball and different sports and things like that. And in grade school, he just was really close to his dad. But then his dad and his mom started fighting. And he'd walk in his mom in tears. And Richard remembers times where he would hang on to his father's leg and pant leg and beg him, "Dad, don't leave. Don't leave, Dad." And that just went on, that threat all the time, till finally one day when he's in seventh grade, he wakes up and his dad was not there and he never saw his dad again, except for a couple times later on in life. No coming to his games, no child support. His mom had to work like crazy, but she couldn't keep up and they lost the house. And Richard's telling me this. Now, graciously, over time, God gave him a stepfather that was kind and loving and brought him in and loved him, and that was just a gift to him. But as I'm talking to him, you know, I actually called him this last Tuesday to make sure I got the facts of the story and give permission to share this, right? I just checked in with him, and he gave me the details of that. And but he later became a Christian in his 20s, late 20s and or mid-20s, I think it is. And he starts talking about that. He can never, he says, "I'm sorry, Dave, he's 71 now." And he says, "I can't keep from crying when I talk about that, about coming to know Jesus." And he says, as he's talking to me, he goes, "I remember after becoming a Christian, I read, he's the father to the fatherless." And you could tell, 71, he can't, his joy and gratefulness to belong to Jesus just overflowed. And quite honestly, if you're a child of Richard Radcliffe, you know you belong to crazy levels. He will literally, I had Clonie out there one time, and he just started giving stuff to him. I mean, just like, "Come on in, yeah." He's just that way, right? If you're a grandkid, you belong. And he says, and he just loves kids, and he's God's shown him what it means to belong. Now, as we look at this, we understand that in Richard's story, that when you belong, it just changes the way you see everything, the way you see life. And so I think one of the verses I think is so helpful to us in this is in Ephesians. And it says, "All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ." See, when you accept Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, and you say, "Yes, humbly, I want to follow you, and I just want to receive what you have," when you do that, it says you are actually united with Christ, a term the Bible uses, you are in Christ, and then you're filled with gratitude, and that's what he's speaking here of, blessings, because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's not a bad deal to belong to Jesus. And even before he made the world, he loved us. I cannot get my mind around that kind of thing, but what that means is before he made the world, he chose us. And he chose us to be holy without fault. He told us to be able to know that we could be right before him and holy and in his family. You know, we talked about this place of God has made us righteous, and we're his masterpiece. He talked in all those places of understanding that we're without fault in his eyes because of what Christ has. But what I want to really focus in is on this verse here in 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He did it, not like, "I'm God, I'm supposed to do this. I should help David because he needs help." No, he did it because he chose to, and he wanted to. He wanted me to be his beloved child. He wanted to adopt me, and it brought him great pleasure. And I just wanted to just let's get real personal here. Now, maybe if you're here and you're now, you're thinking, I'm really considering following Jesus. You're not there yet. This is what's promising you by saying yes to him. For the many of us, we know Jesus personally. This is how God feels about you and why he feels adopted. So put your name in that. I mean, you don't say it out loud, but let's go through this. God decided in advance to adopt me, put your name in, into his own family by bringing me to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It's talking directly to you. Now, when you look at this verse, just to make this a little interactive, what word stands out to you the most? Just a word in that verse. Let's throw a few. I'm sure it's more than one, but what word for you stands out? Adopt. Okay? And there's, we are truly brought in as a full child of God. What other word stands out to you? What'd you say?
Pleasure.
When he did it, it was like, this is bringing me so much pleasure. What else? What'd you say, Josh? Oh,
family,
right. That we actually are brought into something that's just even, you know, if you think about God, he's all about family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body of Christ. It's all about, we were brought into all that as well. What else? What other one stands out? Any other ones?
Decided.
Now, that's a really good one, because decided is showing that he consciously chose it. It wasn't something, this happened. He made a choice. You know what that means, like when someone chooses you? I can't get my mind around all that stuff and how it all works, but I love it that I'm chosen, right? Anybody else have anything?
Wanted.
By golly, you guys did. Everyone I had. Wanted. So that's it. I mean, he wants you. Do you ever have the time to like, man, I don't know how God puts up with me. He doesn't put up with you. He wants you. He wants all your stuff. He wants to be in it with you. And it brings him great pleasure. The word in Greek under great pleasure is it brings him delight, satisfaction. It's what he desires, right? You know, I have a special warm part in my heart for adoption since we adopted both of our children. And I remember when we adopted Emily, we had a big six-hour notice. Didn't know it was happening in 6 hours. We were now, I have a baby coming to our house. And right about an hour after she came, we had another part of our house accidentally where we had 60, 80 people in our house just partying. And they all were just celebrating. And literally, Emily just got passed around. I was like so filled with joy. I remember I got to videotape this, so I'm videotaping this thing, big videotape, and videotaping this thing, and I remember I ran across a friend of ours named Terry Herman, and she had Emily, and she takes Emily up, and she looks at me, and she goes, "This is Emily Christine Stark, David and Debbie's daughter for life." And I just watched that. And I just choked up every time I watched it. And when we adopted Elise, we got from the hospital, we went and got something to eat at this small little cafe in the middle of Kansas, and we couldn't get our eyes off of it. Emily was climbing all over, wanting to look at her. She's sleeping, but we couldn't bear to think of sitting her down where she normally would be on the floor. We had to put her, so we put her in the middle of the table. Just, I'm sure they think, what are they doing? We just couldn't get our eyes off of them. And we just kept looking. Elise Marie Stark, my daughter for life, right? This is the pleasure. When it says pleasure, I know what it's talking about. I know what it's talking about. I want that. I'm a human being with lots of selfishness and pride. But God, when he says he wants you and it's his pleasure to adopt you, it's a pretty big deal. Romans talks about what this feels like when we're adopted. You know, this whole thing that we talk about, this place of being made right with God in all these ways we've talked about. And it says that we've not received a spirit that makes us fearful slaves. Instead, we received a spirit when he adopted you as his own. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit and affirms that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of his glory. But we are to share in his glory, but we must also share in his suffering. You know, as you look through this, is what Paul's explaining here is saying, I want you to understand this is what this means, this adoption. It means that you can now call God Abba Father, the most intimate term you could come up with to understand that this meaning of this is this affectionate, dependent relationship, an intimate, endearing term of a beloved child to a father that they love deeply. It'd be, in probably our terminology of daddy and papa, don't even get a hold of it all, what do we mean by that? But we're able, what that means is we're able to see God as somebody that's the safest person to come to at the most vulnerable times, and we can know he will never reject us, no matter what we've done, no matter where we're at, we can always know we can come to him. And it goes on to this place, it talks about this place of his spirit coming in us that we've talked about indwelling. It testifies that he is actually our father. You know, kids, I don't know if you've looked around this place, kids know their parents. You know, I'm always like, oh, good to see you, so-and-so. And I start going, they go, ah, you know, they're too young. They run to their parents, right? They go, I don't want you, old man. What are you doing? They run to parents, right? They just know their parents. I've had kids almost bleeding out. Like, can I help you? No, I don't care about the blood. Just give me my mom and dad. I just want my mom and dad. That's all they care about, right? What are they needing? They need to know it's safe. They need a place where they know they can belong. When you belong somewhere, you can open up everything. You can trust. You can be protected. And in the spot of understanding that, you know, that we're at this place. I remember one time I was talking to another couple. Debbie and I were, I don't know if Debbie was with me or not, but I was talking to another couple, and they were across the way. And all of a sudden, this little girl that's so cute and very shy and never really has a tendency of being around me, liking me very much, comes up and just hugs my leg. And she's just like, oh, my leg. She's hugging my leg, and she's putting her hand like, and I'm thinking, and they all look down like, what's she doing, you know? And I'm thinking, hey, this is great, you know, this kid loves me more than I thought. But then this kid, as she's hugging my leg, looks up and sees her dad across the way, and he has two legs, and nobody's hugging his leg, and he realizes, I'm hugging the wrong leg. And so then she looks up and sees me, and she screams and jumps over to her father and hugs his leg, right? They just know in their spirit, they know this is my parent. When we are adopted, we can know that at that deep level. And we can feel safe because we know we belong, we're loved, and we're needed as well. And then it goes on to talk about this place that we're his heirs. This is hard to believe, but we know it refers to us as co-heirs with Christ. I mean, the level of ability to be heirs. You know, when you're a part of what is God's, he wants to give freely to you. I mean, all the good things of God, you're heirs. And then he goes on to talk about that we actually share in all he has. We share in his mission, but we share in his glory. But we also share in pain and suffering. But then he comes again, because you belong. You go through pain and suffering differently when he's with you. And the things that you're a part of, that you affected, you have him with you in those places that bring pain and suffering. Because you're his child. You do life together, and you experience, even in this hard life, you experience his glory, and you experience pain. The difference is, you experience it together. You know, for me, I thought about this time, because it's so, it's right to have a family that causes you to belong, right? That's the reflection of God, and as we should be doing with our kids, is they should know that at a deep level. It doesn't fulfill the whole package, though. It's a reflection that takes us to God and belonging there. And I remember, because my family really was pretty good about knowing I belonged, right? And one time we were on this trip that we took a camper out, and it was too much to explain, but the wind started whipping around, and the camper started jackknifing, and we literally came close to death numbers of times on I-70. It was very traumatic, to the point that we were just shaking. A whole family was shaking, but somehow we survived it, and the van was still running, and it was pulling this trailer, and we decided to go ahead and go on into the campground, because it was closer than going home, and we just wanted to stop. So we were now in this campground with a big rainstorm happening, lightning and thunder, and we're in the middle of this campground. Everybody else has left because it's gotten so bad, but we're not leaving anywhere. We're staying in this little tiny trailer that's getting rocked back and forth. And I remember how warm the lights felt because we were safe, and I was with my family. And I remember I belonged. I don't know how to describe it. I wouldn't put those kind of terms, but that's what it felt like. I thought, I like my brother, which I didn't used to like. I mean, I felt connected, right? I appreciated my mom and my dad, and I just felt I belong. But what was the biggest moment is my dad, which never prayed out loud, except for at dinner, typically. He says, We're laying in the bed, getting ready to go to sleep, hopefully with a storm going, and he goes, "We've been saved by God. He's with us, and we're going to thank him." My dad prayed out loud, and when he did, I remember feeling the greatest safety in the middle of the storm that I've ever felt, because I belong not just to my family, which is really good, but I belong to the eternal God who watched over everything. And I thought, man, this doesn't get any better than this. When you belong with Jesus, even the world, even the suffering you go through is different because you belong. He's with you. You know, as I think about just this thing of belonging is that, you know, this is just a characteristic of God. He wants us to know this stuff. He wants us to take in that he decided that he wanted us, that he chose to adopt us, that he paid the huge price so we could do this, so we could have this relationship. He wanted to do it, and it brought him great pleasure. And that we now have nothing to fear because God will never leave us. In Romans it says, "What shall we say about this stuff? It's too wonderful. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? I'm convinced that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is why we can go into his throne room with confidence. This is why we're no longer strangers, but we're God's holy people and members of his family. And God just wants us to know that at a deeper and deeper level, because when you know you belong, it just changes the way you live. It allows you to open your heart and have other people belong. It gives you a greater love for your brothers and sisters and those who are not part of the family. You long for them to understand this.